6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Friends, I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. Here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. And then it'll be a mystery show. It could be Green Planet Monitor. It could be This Is Hell. Anyway, someone will be barking at you and making you think, should I throw my shoe at the radio? That's at 8 o'clock. But for us, this first half hour, Carol putting her parka back on, I'm thinking, to get up on the roof to share and search the heavens, picking up ancient radio waves and sharing them with you. Ezreal, little Slim Harpo for you, little Eric Bogle, all this half hour, plus the sports. Well, a very strong wind. How mighty will this wind be, Carol McKibben? I will say, coming from the south, mind you, so expectations of. And the temperature, when I looked, was only minus 20. I thought, well, we're not putting the fur hat on for that. I did a week or so ago. It was nasty.
Yes.
Yes.
And even it was minus 32 with a wind chill of minus 40.
That was then. This is now.
Yes.
So I decided, nope, we're not wearing the hat. Last week was a flaps down morning is what it was for the great fur hat that we bought in China at the Great Wall.
Right.
And what about this morning's weather?
Well, it's funny you should say a mighty wind.
A mighty wind.
Because it reminds us of the movie, A Mighty Wind.
That's right, too.
Yes, starring
Catherine O'Hara, the late Catherine O'Hara, which I chose for our next movie night. We get together with my brother and my niece.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can find that. I think you can find it on Crave, so we should be able to watch that.
Something.
One of her mockumentaries.
Gets. Yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Her and Eugene Levy. Excellent. In any case, 6 o'clock weather. It's only minus 20, Ron.
See, there you go.
Yes. Barometric pressure, 103 and falling. Humidity, 73%. However, the wind is coming from the south. And as soon as we went outside, I said, it's blowing in something
good. That's what I like about the south.
Blowing in something good. Well, recently the south has been just as cold as us. But anyways, coming from the south at 39, but it's gusting to 49.
We got to lean into it.
So it is pretty, gusting.
Lean
out
into
there.
It, Michael King used to say.
Wind chill is minus 33.
Poo-poo.
So it will be mainly sunny today, but cloudier again this afternoon, and then possibly some light snow.
Right.
Blowing snow in outlying areas this afternoon if you're going out of the city. Wind coming from the south at 30 gusting to 50 and then 50 gusting to 70.
Bingo.
Around lunchtime. So be careful you don't get blown over.
Lead boots for everybody.
Yes. High today, what do you think?
You say high, 1916.
Minus 10.
Holy moly.
Yep.
Well, you heard it here first then.
Yep.
Let's all get out on the front steps at about 4 o'clock, I would imagine. Yeah, right.
Wind chill minus 33 this morning, minus 20 this afternoon. You still have a risk of frostbite because of that.
Well,
wind.
You do. You do.
Yes.
Quick look at sports then. At hockey, the NHL, the Winnipeg Jets play the Florida Panthers today at 3 p.m. It's like watching a car ahead of you disappear round the bend as their taillights fade as the season comes to an end. In the American Hockey League, the Rockford IceHogs, I'll repeat that, the Rockford IceHogs, are in Winnipeg today to play the Manitoba Moose. That's today at 2. The Professional Women's Hockey League, well, the Olympics are on the horizon, so their next scheduled game, their games, will be February 26th. Now, the Belfast Giants take on the Glasgow Clan Sunday in Belfast. Basketball, Toronto Raptors took on the Orlando Magic last night. Now, the Magic was all Orlando's. Raptors lost 130 to 120. Raptors play the Utah Jazz Sunday at 5. Now, in curling in the Scotties, I spy with my little eye looking at what is the situation for today, Ron. Manitoba versus Canada, which tells me that Manitoba will be in the final.
One of the Manitoba teams, because there were two.
Well, Manitoba is Einarsson, and Canada is Laws.
Okay, Einarsson.
So the winner goes right to the final, loser to the semifinal. Semifinal is Sunday at noon, final Sunday at 6.
Excellent.
This just in, football.
Yes.
Attention Bombers, quarterback Trey Ford is available. He's been let go by the Edmonton Elks. They're going with Cody Fajardo.
They had the two brothers, are they twins? Twin brothers working together.
Alas, it's not good enough, Carol.
We did like Trey Ford when he was here.
He showed flashes. What about maturity? But I was thinking of learning from the master.
I just remember being disappointed when he went to Edmonton.
Well, I'm just thinking that Mr. Strever, I think, may have torn his ACL yet again in November. And so I think it's time to think about coaching rather than playing.
Yeah, well, he'd probably be a good coach.
Always will be remembered for his bare top wearing the raccoon coat and the cigar and the Grey Cup.
Well, it's a lot of raccoons.
Well, a lot of raccoons went to a lot of trouble to make that coat. Anyways, that's football, CFL. And hold the front page.
Yes.
I mentioned, of course, the Bombers re-signed a special teams ace. That's veteran Canadian linebacker Tanner Cadwallader.
Yes.
To a two-year contract. Well, we had an email from Tanner apologizing, saying, I still had your business card and meant to get back to you. So we're negotiating. It's because we're not here and then he's not there. So we are going to talk to Tanner in March.
Okay. So.
And catch up.
You gave him your business card, as it were, the CKUW
card. Well, we had a photo opportunity out at the St. Vitale Mall.
How, like 2 or 3 years ago?
Probably.
So maybe he was cleaning house or something and came across it.
Well, he may have mentioned, someone said, oh, the CKUW Saturday morning show, you want to be on that.
That's right.
People line up to be, they don't always answer the door. Make sure you bring them some chocolate, and then they'll, at 6:08,
then
let's turn, shall we, to our Your Easy Listening Hit Parade. Moving this morning, yes. Now, this song is actually was introduced by Burl Ives. But it was the baritone of Vaughn Monroe that turned Stan Jones' galloping song into the most popular song of 1949. Sing through your nose now.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. Ghost heard in the sky. brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry. Yibbe-yi-oh! Loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
To hear, let him listen, I like to say. Ghost Riders in the Sky, of course.
Yes.
It was a biggie, 1949. Appeared on the charts for 22 weeks, maintaining the number one position, 12 of these. Subtitled, Cowboy Legend. Yeah, the old cowpoke sees a ghostly threat. Well, you figured that out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Vaughn's release shattered all existing records for quick success by selling more than 1 million copies in less than 10 weeks. What should we call it? Distinctive nasal style, often parodied. Monroe and his dance band placed almost 70 songs high on the pop charts between 1940 and 1954. 12 minutes after 6. Carol McKibben, what about the jumble? J-U-M-B-L-E,
oh,
jumble.
Let me pull it up here. I think it's fairly easy. How much coffee have you had? That sounds like you're a little...
A mere sip. I don't know if I'm ready.
I think you are for this.
Jumble.
E-S-O-H-U.
Whose line is it anyways? Sounds like whose.
How do you spell whose?
To me? I spell it the way you, with the letters you've given me.
Let me give you those letters again.
Let's have those letters again.
E-S-O-H-U.
Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no.
Yep. This is interesting radio, folks. Will he get
it
before you do? Pardon me?
Could it be house?
Yes.
Yes. A house is not a home. If you remember that book, were you a bookseller when that came out?
A house is not a home?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
No, it was about naughtiness. At 613.
That's probably why I wiped it from my memory bank.
I'm looking at the Free Press book pages, but I think we'll hold that back. But I also would like to share something from the age doesn't matter unless you're a cheese here. If old age means a crown of thorns, the trick is to wear it jauntily, said writer Claire Booth Luce. I wonder if we've used that before. Well, it's still worth saying, isn't it? How about, I'm at the age where food has taken the place of sex in my life. In fact, I've just had a mirror put over my kitchen table. So said comedian Roger Dangerfield, Rodney Dangerfield.
All right.
Somewhere someone's laughing, if not in this immediate vicinity. At 6:14, then, I think it's go to the roof time is what I think. If you will just stand on your chair there and put your shoulder to the wheel, as we like to say. And pushing it open, and I will hand you the bamboo cane with the microwave. go away. It's off to the side there. But the duct tape, microphone, yes.
The action of the play takes place in the waiting room of a railway station in the English provinces. The title of the play is Brief Encounter. Can I help you?
Oh, no, please. It's only something in my eye.
Please let me look. I happen to be a doctor.
It's very kind of you.
Turn round to the light, please. Now, look up.
Oh.
Now look down. Oh, wait a minute, I can see it. Keep still, please. There.
Oh, dear, what a relief. It was agonizing.
It looks like a bit of grit.
It was when the express went through. Well, thank you very much indeed.
Not at all.
How lucky for me that you happened to be here.
Anybody could have done it.
Oh, yes, but you did, and I'm most grateful. Well, there's my train. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Tea or lemonade?
Tea, I think. It's more refreshing, really. Do you like milk in your tea?
Yes, don't you?
Yes, fortunately.
Station refreshments are generally a wee bit arbitrary, you know.
Oh, I wasn't grumbling.
Do you ever grumble? Are you ever sullen and cross and bad-tempered?
Of course I am. At least not sullen exactly, but I sometimes get into rages.
I can't visualize you in a rage.
Well, I really don't see why you should.
Oh, I don't know. There are signs, you know. One can usually tell.
Long upper lips and jaw lines and eyes close together.
You haven't any of those things.
Do you feel guilty at all? I do.
Guilty?
You ought to more than me, really. You neglected your work this afternoon.
I worked this morning. A little relaxation never did anyone any harm. Why should either of us feel guilty?
I don't know. A sort of instinct. As though we were letting something happen that oughtn't to happen.
How awfully nice you are.
When I was a child in Cornwall... We lived in Cornwall, you know. May, that's my sister and I, used to climb out of our bedroom window on summer nights and go down to bathe in the cove, which was dreadfully cold, but we felt very adventurous. I'd never have dared do it by myself, but sharing the danger made it all right. That's how I feel now, really.
Have a bun. It's awfully bad for you.
You're laughing at me.
A little. But I'm laughing at myself, too.
Why?
For feeling a small pang when you said about being guilty.
There you are, you see.
We haven't done anything wrong.
Well, of course we haven't.
An accidental meeting, then another accidental meeting, then a little lunch, then the movies. Now, what could be more ordinary, more natural?
We're adults, after all.
You know, I never quite see myself as an adult. Do you?
Yes, I do. I'm a respectable married woman with a husband and a home and three children.
But there must be a part of you deep down inside that doesn't feel like that at all. Some little spirit that still wants to climb out of the window, that still longs to splash about a bit in the dangerous sea.
Perhaps we none of us ever grow up, really.
How awfully nice you are.
You said that before.
I thought perhaps you hadn't heard.
I heard, all right.
I'm respectable too, you know. I have a home and a wife and children and responsibilities. I also have a lot of work to do and a lot of ideals all mixed up with it.
What's she like?
Madeline?
Yes.
Small, dark, rather delicate.
Well, how funny. I should have thought she'd been fair.
And your husband? What's he like?
Medium height, brown hair, kindly, unemotional, or not delicate at all.
You said that proudly.
Did I?
What's the matter?
The matter? Well, what could be the matter?
You suddenly went away.
I thought perhaps we were being rather silly.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. We're such complete strangers, really.
It's one thing to close a window, but quite another to slam it down on my fingers.
I'm sorry.
Please come back again.
Is tea bad for one? Worse than coffee, I mean.
If this is a professional interview, my fee is one guinea.
It's nearly time for your train.
I hate to think of it. Chugging along, interrupting our tea party.
I really am sorry now.
What for?
For being disagreeable.
I don't think you could be disagreeable.
You said something just now about your work and ideals being mixed up with it. What ideals?
That's a long story.
I suppose all doctors ought to have ideals, really. Otherwise, I should think the work would be unbearable.
Now, surely you're not encouraging me to talk shop.
Do you come here every Thursday?
Yes. I come in from Chirley and spend a day in the hospital. Stephen Lynn graduated with me. He's the chief physician here. I take over from him once a week. It gives him a chance to go up to London and me a chance to observe and study the hospital patients.
Is that a great advantage?
Of course. You see, I have a special pigeon.
What is it?
Preventive medicine.
Oh, I see.
I'm afraid you don't.
I was trying to be intelligent.
Most good doctors, especially when they're young, have private dreams. That's the best part of them. Sometimes, though, those dreams get over-professionalized and strangulated, and... Am I boring you?
No. Well, I don't quite understand, but you're not boring me.
Well, what I mean is this. All good doctors must be primarily enthusiasts. They must have, like writers and painters and priests, a sense of vocation, a deep-rooted, unsentimental desire to do good.
Yes, I see that.
Well, obviously, one way of preventing disease is worth 50 ways of curing it. That's where my ideal comes in. Preventive medicine isn't...
Well, well, well. Preventive medicine, too.
I forgot they got into preventive medicine.
Yes. Noel Coward and Margaret Leighton were there in our ancient radio section, which, of course, was today one of a short play that was turned in to the movie Brief Encounter with Trevor Howard.
Yes.
And Celia Johnson, one of my faves, yes, actually. And we saw it done as a stage play.
That's right.
Just remembered that.
Was it a bit of a musical?
Yeah, well, just they had some interesting special effects with the curtain and the like, and the light, use
well,
of light.
Well, they had an interesting band. Tiger, I...
Oh, well, wasn't. Not, it wasn't the.
But they sounded like.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Maybe. So, right, who's yeah, the?
The Tiger Lilies.
Tiger Lilies.
They're pretty wacky, wonky.
Yeah, yeah. But they have music very similar.
The next book I'm reviewing for the Winnipeg Free Press will be...
Yes?
Dr. Chochenov's book on In Search of Dignity. Hmm. It's not so much about preventive medicine as palliative care battling, in his view, with the idea of MAID,
right,
medically assisted death. Now, it is 6:22... I'm just thinking, well, let's take a quick look. No, let's have some music. We have enough talk then.
Yes.
My man, Eric Bogle.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking, Eric needs power if we're going to hear from him. I think this was a charity shop find, is what I think it was.
Huh.
And we only play usually one or two songs by Eric Bogle over and over.
Right.
So time for something else, yes? All right.
Yeah.
A Dublin man, his brogue no one can understand. It's been a while since he left his Green Isle. He's as Irish as they come. Sometimes when Paddy's in the mood, when the Celt within him fires his blood, he'll drink some drams and sing a few songs and dream of home. Paddy's singing well tonight, head thrown back and eyes closed tight. He sings his songs of Ireland far away, and how he's going back to Dublin one fine day. But Paddy sings a fading song, knows he never can go home. A stranger there, an exile here, he lives somewhere in between. The island of his heart's recall that ever did exist at all, now only lives and wistfully moves through Paddy's dream. Paddy's singing tonight, head thrown back and eyes closed tight. He sings his songs of Ireland far away, and how he's going back to Dublin one fine day.
never did exist at all. Now only lives and wistfully moves through Paddy's dream. Paddy's singing well tonight, head thrown back and eyes closed tight. He sings his songs of Ireland far away. And how he's going back to Dublin one fine day. And how he's going back to Dublin one fine day.
Bogle from the cassette Something of Value. There's a note on this. At the specific request of his band, the producer, the engineer, and numerous other supplicants, Eric Bogle did not play his guitar on this album. He did, however, write the music and lyrics to all the songs except Going to Dublin was one of them. Lyrics by Eric Bogle, music by John Monroe. At 626 Winnipeg Free Press book pages in the big book. It's true crime, and I mean many photos here. Yeah. Murder and Mayhem, a count of unsolved Black Dahlia killing, melds true crime story with the history of post-war L.A. Reviewed by Christopher Adams. The book is called Black Dahlia: Murder, Monsters, and Madness in Mid-Century Hollywood. That's a great title for it. By William J. Mann. This was 1947. Yet to be solved, Black Dahlia mystery. Generated novels, including James Ellroy's novel, Black Dahlia. First in his L.A. quartet cycle. True crime books, documentaries, most recently, countless podcasts. So this book, Mann's new work, is more than the true crime story of a murder. It's a thoroughly deep account of Los Angeles society immediately following the Second World War.
I thought that James Ellroy's father was somehow involved in that Black Dahlia.
We'd have to look him up.
Yeah, murder.
Anyway, so who is the person? Who might this person be? Mann's excellent and gripping read is well worth reading to discover who he suspects committed the crime. An avid consumer of film noir novels and movies, Christopher Adams is the rector of St. Paul's College.
I was just going to say, I left out his, Ellroy's father was a policeman involved.
Oh, well then, yes, right. Yeah. I turn the page and now this is an acquired taste, I think.
Yes.
If I said to you, the author Karl Ove Nosgaard.
Nosgaard rings a bell.
Norwegian. Best known for his six-volume series, My Struggle. They're monsters. He identifies everything that happened from the time he wakes up in the morning until the time he goes to bed at night.
It was all a struggle?
In the womb. Anyways, this is... Translation, School of Night is his latest, the fourth novel in his Morning Star series. Canadian publisher says the four are loosely linked but need not be read in order, which is always a good thing. This new one can be enjoyed as a standalone. Dave Williamson reviewed it. Oh, but he gives away the ending.
Okay.
All right, I won't say anything
about
that.
Well, I'm not sure that My Struggle is a good title for it, but maybe somebody... Slightly different.
Well, the new book is called The School of Night.
Okay.
A novel, but I see what you're saying. I'm looking at the bestsellers at the bottom of the page here. I see they're promoting on the bestseller page Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies, which is Lindsay Wong's new novel. She teaches here at the University of Winnipeg, creative writing. We'll have our conversation with Lindsay at about 7:45 this morning. About that. New book from Jeanette Winterson, One Aladdin, Two Lamps, reviewed by Rochelle Squires. So, yes, award-winning UK writer, best known for her memoir, Why Be Happy When You Could Be Normal, penned another work of nonfiction. Calls into question ancient stories and tropes that shape society. What does that mean? In it, she names many factors: people, central narratives, Charles Darwin, Francis Galton, papal bulls, dogmatic declarations that have shaped belief systems and created imprisonment for millions born outside the dominant paradigm. So she offers a new perspective. Quote, I can change the story because I am the story. All right. Complex structure, overwhelming at times. It never loses sight of its simple premise, an invitation to examine the stories that shape us and to imagine the world anew. One Aladdin, Two Lamps. Well, look at this. Here's a review of Eleanor, the 200-mile walk in search of England's lost queen.
Oh, right.
There it is. I reviewed it myself. I said, who's up for a 320-kilometer hike in memory of a long-dead and largely forgotten English queen? The answer would be young historian Alice Loxton.
Wow.
Alice Loxton. Now, that's not what I wrote. I wrote...
Yes?
I called her Sassy, I think.
Oh.
I see the editor took the word
right,
Sassy.
Yes,
yes.
Probably.
I said, imagine TV history presenter Lucy Worsley in hiking boots, and you've got the picture. So I enjoyed this mixture of travelogue, pilgrimage, etc., and history as you go. Eleanor, a 200-mile walk in search of England's lost queen by Alice Loxton. All right, that's in the pages of today's Winnipeg Free Press.
So your review, you only handed it in a couple of days ago, it seems.
No, we had trouble with it. It's been in for a while. We got it in early.
Have a little bit of it.
And we did have a problem with it. Now that my computer was upgraded, I can't figure out.
No, mine was.
Change the icons and I'm lost. I must have my. What's happened to my icons? Died on this day in 1970. Slim Harpo, whose real name was James Moore.
Okay.
Born in Louisiana, eldest child in his family. Parents died. He was a longshoreman, construction worker in New Orleans. Influenced by the style of Jimmy Reed, began performing Baton Rouge bars using the name Harmonica Slim, and also accompanied his brother-in-law, Lighten Slim, at live performances. Anyways, some hits, yes. I guess, in particular, I'm a King Bee, and I think we'll hear that.
Okay.
Well, I'm a King Bee, buzzing around your eye. Well, I'm a king bee, buzzing around your hive. Well, I can make honey, baby, let me come inside. I'm young and able to buzz all night long. I'm young and able to buzz all night long. Well, when you hear me buzzing, baby, some stinging is going on. Well, buzz a while. Sting it then. Well, I'm a king bee. Want you to be my queen. Well, I'm a king bee. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey the world have I never seen. All night long. Well, I'm a king bee. Can buzz all night long. Well, I can buzz better, baby, when your man is gone.
Lim Harpo, who was actually known for his blues harmonica. Say, we are. Who are we? Let's have somebody else say who we are.
Hi, I'm Bill Redekop, author of Made in Manitoba, and you're listening to CKUW-FM.
95.9 on your FM dial, Saturday morning show. If you're a blues fan, we have a blues show for you every Thursday at 2. Make it 1 to 2. It's called Balmoral Blues.
Oh, okay.
I used to have several, but that's the one that caught my eye here as I'm looking at the full schedule in every issue of the Stylus magazine.
Right.
Latest one is still out there. There should be at least two more Stylus magazines.
Okay.
Nice write-up in the community newspaper.
As part of the Free Press.
As part of the Free Press on the Stylus magazine. I have that stashed away somewhere here. I'll pull it out for later.
Okay.
And, of course, it's usually in every week or second week of the Uniter, if you can.
The schedule. Our
yep,
schedule.
Yep, you can pick that up sometimes at Hildegard's.
Right.
The corner of Maryland and Portage. Sometimes at McNally Robinson Booksellers. And, yep, of course, here on campus at the University of Winnipeg.
Do they have it at Into the Music, where you can use your friend's card?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. But no, well, Stylus is there. I was thinking, but not the Uniter.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, at 6:36 then. I think we should probably look for help, guidance.
Yes, probably.
From Dear Mary, your problem solved. And Mary always has an answer, don't you know? Might not be the answer you're looking for. Dear Mary, question. A dinner party guest rang me 3 hours before the dinner for 10 I was giving as a thank you to her and her husband to say that as soon as she arrived at my flat at 8:30, she would have to use my computer to bid for some curtains on eBay. How should I have dissuaded her, Mary? ESW London, W11. Yes, we've all been there. Answer. Well, Mary, answer, are you kidding? You could have insisted on sparing her the nuisance of having to undertake this chore. I'll get a friend's au pair to come round and sit at the screen for you. You could have cooed maternally. She won't charge more than about £20, but it'd be well worth it rather than your having to disrupt the dinner party and not be able to enjoy worrying about the 9 people waiting for you to come back and to join them. You would leave open the matter of who was to pay the au pair's fee. These tactics would have brought your guest swiftly to her senses. Well, we used to sit in for a hotel reservation. It was called Sky Auction.
Oh, right.
They supposedly started at a dollar. Well, they didn't. They started at the dollar plus whatever the city taxes were. But we did get some wonderful bargains.
We did get some really good deals.
But not much in the way of what we're looking for there anymore.
No.
Turner Classic Movie Channel.
Yes.
Today, yes, 1 p.m., The Three Musketeers. Now, it's the 1935.
Okay.
Walter Abel, Paul Lucas, Moroni Olson.
All right.
It was a goodie, but 4:45. The Searchers, directed by John Ford from 1952.
Right.
John Wayne, Vera Miles.
Yep.
Man searches for niece kidnapped by Comanches. And it's a really nasty piece of work as well. Good acting, though. The Searchers at 4:45 today. 7 o'clock tonight, Deliverance. Who's looking for a good time? 1972, John Borman, John Voight, Burt Reynolds, Ned Beatty. Weekend canoe trip turns into a nightmare. 9 o'clock, Midnight Cowboy. It's a laugh a minute here on the Turner Classic Movie Channel. Midnight Cowboy at 9 p.m. 1969, Dustin Hoffman. I'm walking here. Yes. John Voight, Grim Realities of Life on the New York Streets. Sunday at 1 a.m., The Nanny.
Oh.
A disturbed boy tries to prove his nanny is out to kill him, starring Betty Davis.
Oh, dear.
10:30 a.m. on Sunday, The Life and Death of Colonel Blimp, one of my faves, from 1943, directed by Paul and Pressburger, Roger Livesey, Deborah Carr. 1:30 p.m., A taste of honey.
A taste of honey, tasting much sweeter than wine.
Studios. That, well, I think, was recorded probably, some of them, on the that box set at the Paris Street, Paris Studio, they called it, which was Lower Regent Street.
Oh, right.
I recognized it from the photos, and yes, then suddenly I'm back there.
Yeah.
I've said this before. I went to a recording. One, and we got in for free, so of course I remembered.
Yes.
Two, it was just a minute.
Oh, what a lot of fun.
Can you speak for a minute without deviation, repetition, or hesitation, you say?
Yes.
Kenneth Williams was there, and then you discover why people are shrieking and laughing, because to distract other people and upset them while they're trying to speak at length, Kenneth Williams would roll his pant legs up,
oh,
and the audience would shriek.
That.
It's an idea of that's British comedy for you. Suddenly, we're right there, back in London.
But it's radio, so...
I can hear Big Ben. When do you want to go?
In Elizabeth Tower. Well.
Do I hear May?
Sure. After our spring choir concert.
All right. May it is then. Off to London.
Okay.
Hello, London. This is Canada. All right. So, once again, 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, A Taste of Honey from 1961, directed by Tony Richardson, starring...
Yes.
That little waif, Rita Tushingham.
Oh, Rita Tushingham.
The last time we saw Rita Tushingham... She was being a bad girl, an ancient bad girl,
yes,
in an episode of one of the Vera
series. I think it
series.
Was Vera, yes.
Yes. She had hidden, I think, the drugs money or the drugs on the mantle.
Right.
It was hidden in somebody's ashes.
That's right.
In their,
urn.
Canopy, in their urn.
Yes.
Rita being very, very bad. 6:44.
But really, vintage Rita Tushingham.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, turning then. To our capital, the birth of a label, as we continue the first years from 1942 to 1943. Margaret Whiting this time.
Same old tingle that I feel. And then that elevator starts its ride, and down and down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? Such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. For you're the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving the spin I'm in, under that old black magic called love. Margaret
Whiting there with the original slagger, Freddie Slack, and his orchestra at 6:47. Did I hear you say that the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain will be in Vancouver?
Yes, I thought you were going to play them later and you could talk.
Well, we are going to play them later.
Yes.
We may have to change our... We better cash in our winning lottery tickets and just start traveling the globe.
$20.
See if we can do the show from a bedroom somewhere with a small piece of equipment or something. I am speaking to you now from number 10. On this day, 1901, yes. Stanley Cup, Montreal Arena, the Winnipeg Victorias edged the Montreal Shamrocks 2-1 to sweep the Challenge Series 2-0. There you go. On this day in 1905, the first car to exceed 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
Daytona Beach, Florida. And from that day forward,
yes,
parents began tearing their hair out,
right,
and worrying. Why?
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's. Got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with 411 gears you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars was shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still. All of a sudden, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by. Said, boys, it's a mark for me. By then, the taillight was all you could see. Now the fellas ribbed me for being behind, so I thought I'd make the Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it on down into overdrive. Wound it up to 110, my speedometer said that I hit top end. My foot was glued like lead to the floor, that's all there is, and there ain't no more. Now the boys all thought lost sense, and tell them those looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots, the lines on the road just look like dots. Took a corner, sideswiped the truck, crossed my fingers just for luck. My fenders was clicking the guardrail post, the guy beside me was white as a ghost. Smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. Knew it could catch him, I thought I could pass. Don't you know by then we'd be low on gas. We had flames coming from out of the side. Feel the tension, man, what a ride. I said, look out, boys, I got a license to fly. And that caddy pulled over and let us by. Now all of a sudden she started knocking down in the dip. She started to rock, and I looked in the mirror. Red light was blinking, the cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. They arrested me and they put me in jail and called my pappy to throw my bail. And he said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod, Lincoln.
Kids, don't try that at home. Commander Cody and his lost planet airman at 6:50. Well, we better get our comedy in, Carol. Bit of a smile.
Oh, yes.
For the movies that we listed for the Turner Classic Movie Channel. All right, yes.
This is music by Randall Davidson, a work entitled The Young Lutheran's Guide to the Orchestra. With the epigraph, the urge to perform is no indication that a person has talent. Remember that. So, if you're a Lutheran and you feel drawn toward a life in music, remember, Lutherans, generally speaking, are not the ones up on stage. They're the ones in the basement fixing lunch. Usually tuna sandwiches and a Jell-O salad. Now, in the Bible, we do see references to music, but it was played in praise of the Lord, not for amusement. The apostles did not play instruments or sing. There was no entertainment at the Last Supper. The only art form that our Lord embraced was fiction when he came out with the parables. So, if you, a young Lutheran, want to be a musician, if you feel you have real musical talent, not just that you're talented in comparison to others in your family, you ought to ask yourself, which instrument is the best one for a Lutheran to play? If our Lord had played an instrument, which one would he have chosen, assuming he was Lutheran? Probably not a French horn. A French horn can easily drive a person right over the edge. You only get to play a few notes once in a while, but if you clam on a note, you really stink out the place. A bad note on a French horn is like passing wind at a funeral. It's just unthinkable. So, of course, they sit and think of nothing else. Should a Lutheran play the bassoon? Not if you want to be taken seriously, no. The bassoon looks like a lampstand. It has about six notes that sound good, and the rest are on the verge of sounding ridiculous. When you hear a bassoon on a movie soundtrack, you know that you're watching a cartoon. Many Lutherans start out playing clarinet and marching band, and that's a pretty good instrument, pretty easy to play. But then you find out there's not a lot of glory in the clarinet. Like most reed instruments, the clarinet is a handful of problems. If it's hot, they go sharp. If it's dry, the reeds are no good. If it's humid, the keys stick. If it's cold, it cracks. Like that. A clarinet is always on the verge of collapse. Clarinetists sit surrounded by swabs and rags and little cups of water to soak their reeds in, tuners. It's more like an emergency room back there than an orchestra section.
From CD titled The Young Lutheran's Guide to the Orchestra, Garrison Keillor with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. 656, Carmel Kevin.
Yes.
Died on this day. Well, actually, on this day in 1972, Aretha Franklin was the singer at the funeral for gospel singer Mahalia Jackson.
Oh, right.
Held in a Baptist church in Chicago. Well, it's your Mahalia. Mahalia Jackson from Gospel, Spirituals, and Hymns. See, this came from the Winnipeg Public Library. 100 years ago, I put it onto a cassette. I guess it was a several-disc set. Mahalia Jackson, who died January 27, 1972, American gospel singer. Widely considered one of the most influential vocalists, 20th century. Career, 40 years. Integral to the development and spread of gospel.